If you have your Bibles, we invite your attention to the book of Titus in chapter 2. We hope everyone has had a good day and a good week. Pray this has been a blessing to you. Now, God willing, today we're going to look at chapter 2 in Titus. And depending on the time, we might get into chapter 3 as well. But definitely going to get into chapter 2. And we pray that this would be a blessing to you as well. Now, last week we looked at chapter 1, or the last time, excuse me, we looked at chapter 1 and we were talking about who wrote the epistle to Titus, who he was writing to, that was Titus, of course, then also what he's talking about setting the church in order and so forth. Well, we talked about the qualifications for elders, pastors, however you want to call that. And then we looked at the end dealing with the purpose of the pastor and what he's to do. He's to preach the word. He's to be faithful in word and deed. Now we come to chapter 2. Now chapter 2 is dealing with Christian doctrine and conduct. Now here we find the Apostle Paul as he writes, and he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Now the word doctrine is a dirty word, according to some people. Some people will tell you, listen, our church, we don't preach doctrine. Oh, but that is a lie. Every church preaches doctrine. You either preach sound doctrine or false doctrine, or maybe soft, mushy doctrine, but you preach some kind of doctrine. Now, a lot of people will tell you that doctrine is talking about, well, they don't preach creeds or anything like that. Let me explain this. We here at Friendship Baptist Church, we are an independent Baptist church. We will make no bones about what we are. We do believe and we do hold to Baptist teaching and doctrine. But we believe that Baptist teaching and doctrine is found throughout the Scriptures. So, whenever we're teaching Baptist doctrine, what we mean by that is, and in particular here at Friendship, what we mean by that is we preach Bible doctrine, or we preach what the Word of God has to say. Now, verse 1 in chapter 2, the Bible says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." In other words, preach the book, Titus. Preach what the Bible has to say. Then he says that the aged men, now, whoa, wait a minute, he's talking about doctrine, right? Now, I want you to understand, part of doctrine is instructing people in what to do and how to go about it. Now here, he starts dealing with the different things that different genders and age groups do and what they are supposed to do. Verse 2, he talks to the aged men. Verses 3 and 4, he talks to the aged women, the older women. Also in verse 4, he talks to the aged women that they are to teach the younger women what to do. And then we find in verse 6, he starts talking about the young men and what they are to do. But he doesn't just stop there. Then he talks about servants. Then he talks about masters and so on in that same verse. Now, I want you to look here as we continue on, that the aged men be sober. Now, this is the example and the work of the aged men or older men in the church. And what Titus and other ministers do, they are to instruct the aged or older men to be sober. That's serious. Clear-minded in their thinking. Grave. Now that talks about a very different degree of seriousness. In other words, they're to be very serious about the things of God. Temperate. They're to be people that are self-controlled. Sound in faith. Know what the Bible says. Be sound in the doctrine of God's Word. Sound in faith. Then in charity and in patience. Talking about loving. They're to be loving. They're to be patient. Now, there's a whole lot said in those verses dealing with the older men. Now, I want you to look at this and think about it again. The aged man, be sober, there'd be grave, serious, temperate, have some self-control, sound in faith, right? But then the last two things we notice, in charity. It's talking about love. You know, a lot of times, especially in the old days, and what I mean by the old days, I'm 44 years old, the generation before me, if a man was to talk about being loving, he was kind of looked at as a sissy. Well, Paul's telling Titus, listen, you need to instruct these men to love. Nothing wrong with having love and affection for different people. There's some people here in the church, especially some of the men, every once in a while I'll tell them, said, you know, man, I love you and I appreciate you. They don't tell me they love me back. And the reason being, and I get it, they're just not comfortable with it. They weren't raised like that. I'm a little different. I'm 44 years old. I am a big strapping buck. But I'm also one of those fellas. I'm also probably about as gentle and as tender as a teddy bear. And I express myself openly and freely many times. That's one thing that I have to say my wife has really helped me with. Our son, from the time he was very young, would many times just out of the blue while we're going down the road, and even to this day, say, love you guys. Say, love you back. The reason is my wife has taught him that. That's good. We ought to be able to express ourselves and the love we have for others. So to have love, we're to be patient. Oh, men, we need patience. Look at verse 3, the aged women. Now, I tell this story a lot, but there was a time whenever I first started preaching, I was teaching Sunday school for our pastor. He was out of town, and so I taught on this. And I came to chapter 2, and I'm like, now listen. Said, some of you older ladies, you need to be teaching some of the younger. And I pointed out my cousin's wife, and I said, take for instance you. And I just kept going. I didn't pay attention to it. I just wasn't thinking. I was single at the time, and the more I think about it, probably for good reason. And my cousin looked at me and said, oh, brother, I believe I'd leave that alone. Well, we shouldn't go around pointing out who the older women are or the younger. That should be easy enough to figure out. But the older women, likewise. So they're to do the things that Paul was telling Titus, listen, teach, have the older men to be instructed in, sure. But then he goes on and says, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness. In other words, having godly character, having a good testimony. Then notice, as they're to be reverent, disciplined, they're to be loving, self-controlled. They should also be sound or healthy by having a strong faith in God, love for others, and patience. Now, this is Matthew Henry again. Amid any difficulties, teachers of good things are opposed to teachers of things corrupt. So, goes on here, says, they're to be in behaviors becometh holiness. Not false accusers, in other words, liars or talebearers. Nor given to much wine. They're not to be drunks. Teachers of good things as opposed to bad things or corrupt things, as it said a while ago. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, that they'll be clear-minded, to love their husbands. Love their husbands. Not everybody else's husbands. Your job is to take care of your husband, to love him, but then also to love their children. You would think that's something that shouldn't be taught, but we see in the day in which we live, it is. It needs to be. Nothing more unnatural for abortion, but yet here we are. A lot of people consider a baby or a fetus, whatever you want to call it, a living one, in the womb is nothing more than a blob of tissue? No, they're a child. They're one to be loved, that is to be loved on. So the Bible says, teach them to love their husbands, to love their children. How is that to be done? By example. Moms, teach your daughters to love their husbands and their future children by you loving your husband and your own children. Notice, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. In other words, discreet is talking about here. It is something discretion shall preserve you, as understanding that shall keep you from the evil way, and to be chaste, to be pure. Notice this as well. Keepers at home. Take care of business at home first. Home base is what's first and foremost. Then notice. Good. Obedient to their own husbands. They listen to their husbands. They obey them. There is submission, subjection, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So that way that God is not mocked by the world by a lack of testimony and a lack of love and subjection to what God has required and called to do. Then it says, young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Notice how that keeps coming up again and again. Clear-minded. And all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. A pattern of good works. Doing what is right. How do you do this? You do this in doctrine. Showing uncorruptness. By believing and preaching and practicing the truth. Gravity. Seriousness. Sincerity. You know, sincerity is pretty simple. You practice and you're sincere in your beliefs. You mean it. You want to do it. It's not just something you give lip service to. Sound speech. That cannot be condemned. Sound talking. In other words, making sure that the things you say are pure, corrupt, non-corrupt. Make sure they're correct. Make sure what you're saying honors God. Why? So that it cannot be condemned. In other words, others can't come up and say, hey, that's awful. You shouldn't be saying that. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to save you. In other words, they can't rightly bring an accusation for things you've said or done. Verse 9, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well. In other words, do their job. Now, what if your employer, let's make this example today. What if your employer tells you to go out here and steal something? Is that right? Nope. Sure ain't. Sure ain't. So, what's it talking about? Whenever your employer asks that which is reasonable and right, you should do it. Servants, be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things. That they listen, they do right, and not answering again. In other words, not back-talking, not complaining, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. In other words, they're honest, they do that which is right. Showing, notice, for the grace of God, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. In other words, that God be celebrated, that He be adored, and that others will see who He is through our actions. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Man, it is the free, unmerited favor of God and His goodwill that has brought salvation to mankind. And in particular, to all kinds of men. White men, brown men, red men, yellow men, black men. We could go on and on. Drunk men, adulterous men, fornicating men. All kinds of sinners. All sinners. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. Teaching us that denying ungodliness, in other words, running from it, worldly lust, running from it, we should soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We should live properly as God's people. Looking for that blessed hope. Looking for that hope, that surety that we have one day when Christ is going to come back. And folks, He is coming back. And I personally believe that it could happen at any moment. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice that. What are we looking for? Excuse me. I hope and pray we're looking for Christ. Because if we're not, we're looking for the wrong thing. Too many people are looking for wealth. They're looking for fame. They're looking for self-satisfaction. But God tells us to be looking for Christ, who gave Himself for us, that we might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, an owned people. People that have been bought back from sin, those that have been purified from sin, and those of us who are owned by Him. Peculiar growing up meant weird or strange. Understand something, folks. This word gives more of an idea of having been redeemed, been bought back. However, because we've been bought back, we ought to be peculiar, especially whenever compared to the world. We ought to be different. Verse 15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So listen. You've been given the command, you preach, you teach right, and don't you worry about what anyone else says or thinks. You do what is right, what is holy, and what glorifies God. Let me tell you what's going on today, folks, in many places and in many churches. People have come to a place where they just don't recognize the God of heaven. Let me ask you, do you know Christ? Do you know who He is? Do you know the free pardon of sin? If so, we tell you to be faithful to Him, to look for that blessed hope. But if you don't know Christ and the free pardon of sin, we tell you today, turn from sin, turn from self, and turn to Christ and Him alone, and He will save you. God bless you. Until next time.